May my speaking and all our thinking be in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Amen.
In Luke's lesson today, Jesus tells his audience, take the lower seat, wait to be asked to come higher up. But there's a lot more in this passage, of course, than simply avoiding embarrassment. The passage is about humility. Humility, the word in Greek is not pronounceable. So I'm going to go with Latin. Humilitas, old French humilite, which has its root as humus, dirt, the earth. No doubt we were meant to take notice of our origins. And the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. But humilitas began as a word of denigration, the dirt. It was mean, of low estate, little, poor value, poor, crude. Has the same origin as humiliation. Over time, however, the understanding of humility got a lot more complex and nuanced. The antonyms of humility include pride, arrogance, presumption, and hubris. In ancient Greece, hubris meant claiming things for yourself that rightly belonged to the gods. Hubris led eventually to Nemesis, who was the goddess of retribution. The message? Humans should be humble. Hubris is the tragic flaw of all the Greek tragedies, and we should remember that. Our Judeo-Christian tradition comes to value humility quite highly. We see what happens to Adam and Eve when they presume to eat of the tree of knowledge. God ships them off before they can eat of the tree of life and become immortal. The Bible tells us how much God values humility in about 1,000 places. I picked just a few. In 1 Kings, when Solomon says, "And thou, Lord, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David, my father. And I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. Thy servant is in the midst of a great people thou hast chosen. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people." Of course, God replies, "Because if you have asked for something for others and not for yourself, you shall have all that you ask and more." So humble pays. Hannah in 1 Samuel, "He raiseth up the poor out of the dust, lifteth the beggar from the dunghill to set them among princes, and by strength shall no man prevail." That's such a true passage that Mary echoes it as the source of the Magnificat. In Proverbs 11:2, "When pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom." Later in Proverbs, "The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility." Micah says, "He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. What does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God." In the New Testament, as Jesus instructs in the Beatitudes, "The blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are the pure of heart, for they shall see God." The problem is, we are not pure of heart. We mess up regularly and we sin like it's going out of style. We can't help it. How can we help for purity of heart? Humility. If we know we are powerless to be without sin, but if we humbly accept that we can achieve nothing without the Word and the Holy Spirit, all is possible. Only in humility can man be properly thankful for the Creator and his undeserved grace. Paul, the origin of so much of our theology, wrote in Philippians, "In lowness of mind, let each esteem the other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." Unfortunately, the King James Bible was not quite as clear as the Revised Standard Version, which translates it, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself." for will. St. Augustine of Hippo was actually very clear and concise about humility. He said, the way to Christ is first through humility, second, through humility, third, through humility. If humility does not precede and accompany and follow every good work we do, if it is not before us to focus on, if it is not beside us to lean upon, if it is not behind us to fence us in, pride will wrench from our hand any good deed we do at the very moment we do it. Humility is the foundation of all virtues. Hence, in the soul in which there is no humility, there can be no other virtue except mere appearance. That also was not Doug, but St. Augustine. Paraphrasing, the loftier you seek to build, the deeper the foundation must go down. If you reach high, you must be in the ground a good long ways. If we're honest with ourselves, we would agree that humility exalts the heart and pride debases it. Almost done with the list song, Thomas of Aquinas wrote, submission to God and moderation of ambition to keep it within bounds appointed for each individual by God, recognizing that in certain ways one may be better endowed by God than somebody else. Humble postures baked into Christian love and into our liturgy. The daily office begins with a phrase which was uttered by the monks in the morning after a fasting from speech. We say, O Lord, open thou our lips. The monks thought they couldn't even do that. They weren't even worthy to open their own lips. God needed to do it for them. Likewise, we do not say we repent. We ask God to grant us true repentance. It's not in our power to repent. A bit of humility is called for. All of our communal prayers begin with humility. First, we confess our sins, and then we praise and we thank. So, how are we supposed to remain humble? We get the idea that it's important, but how do we do it? Firstly, we face facts. No matter what we achieve, it is very little compared to the sum of all achievement. We're finite beings. We're human. We are not transcendental. We are not, will not be here. We have a short life. Life will continue after we're gone. So how big can our contributions be, really? Second, a little comparison. You can be humble if you compare yourself. If you say, well, when I play the cello, I can be pleased with what I've learned. It's only been 12 or 13 years. I'm a little slow. It's a little late to it. But I'm happy with what I play. But when I compare myself to Joey Miller in the choir loft playing the, why do I even bother? So that is a good way to instill a little bit of humility. We each have some way to do that. Or perhaps we should compare ourselves with the ultimate in humility. In his letter to the Philippians, Paul describes Jesus' life of humility when he says, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, but took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death upon the cross. Wherefore God most highly exalted him. No one can top that for humility. Why is humility important? Rowan Williams says, God is found in relationships. And I think that's the crux of the lesson we were reading. It is easy enough, if you think about it, to be humble before God. But the trick is to be humble before other people. To realize that everyone has value and everyone brings something to the table. Everyone is God's creation. Human beings are meant to live and grow and achieve in community and grow together into the image of God whence we were created. Saint Benedict wrote his rule for monks as a foundational document for monks living in a community. Emphasis was on humility and work, Pax, ora, and labora, peace, prayer, and work. Why is humility so important? The most eloquent answer I found comes 1,400 years later from one of Will's favorites, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, theologian and martyr to the Nazis. He wrote in Life Together, better than I could say it or think it, "Where discipline of the tongue is practiced, individuals will make an amazing discovery. They will be able to stop keeping an eye on others, judging them, condemning them, and putting them in their places, and thus doing them harm. They can now allow other Christians to live freely, just as God has brought them face to face with each other. The view of such persons expands, and they can recognize, to their amazement, for the first time, the richness of God's created glory shining over their brothers and sisters." Later he goes on to say, "God did not make others as I would have made them, or give them to me so that I could dominate or control them, but that I might find the Creator by means of them. I can never know in advance how God's image should appear to others. I must look anew each day." I think that we miss the point if all of this, feeling low, being low, you miss the point if you think that God would suppress aspiration or achievement. We aren't meant to be racing to the bottom of the class. C.S. Lewis said this one the best when he said, "Humility is not to think less of oneself, but to think of self less." Humility is about how we see the world. Evagrius was a 4th century Christian monk, an ascetic, and later a heretic. But he wrote of three ways of seeing the world: the angelic way, the human way, and the diabolical way, seeing the world. The most true is the angelic way, creation as seen from heaven without any earthly distortions. The diabolical way sees the world in terms of what it can do for the seer, selfish. What can we get from the world? The human way, Evagrius said, was somehow to bounce along the path between the other two, sometimes seeing true, sometimes not seeing true. God knows our every thought. He knows that we are finite, imperfect, inconsistent. We have a human nature and an instinct for self-preservation. We can never fully escape that instinct, but God's graceful gift in the Spirit would allow us at times to temper those instincts and reflexes which are turned towards self, not completely and perfectly as Christ does, but hopefully more and more as we grow in faith. Back to Jesus' story, we all wish to seat at that seat of honor closer to the host, and this is fine. It's fine. We must remember that while actions speak louder than words to God, our thoughts can speak louder than our actions or our words. Even quietly thinking that you deserve to be at that top table will send you straight to the back of the line. Humility is the truest way of seeing. I'll end with two thoughts about the moon. It was full this past Tuesday night. First, we do best when we realize that, like the moon, we can only humbly reflect light, God's light. We are not the source of it, but we can share it and should. Second, more to Bonhoeffer. On a night when our one moon shines brightly and it's full, what do we not see? Billions of brilliant stars all around us are invisible. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen.